That's All Because of You, from the new U2 album, which is out today. It goes by the name of How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. How do we find you, November 2004, sir?
Very hopeful indeed. We're having a great few weeks. If you're in U2, this is a good time.
Is it a particularly stressful time? Because I know you've done the hard work and you've delivered the album. People will have bought it in their thousands today. But does it mean, with all the promotion and all the last-minute hassles and sound, that actually it's a time you dread?
Oh, I hate whinging rock stars, you know that.
No, I'm inviting you to whinge.
Can't stand them. I mean, really.
How tough can it be?
You get this job and then you sit there going, oh, I've got to sell the songs. We are travelling salesmen. We do it door to door. And I'm happy to be that. I believe in these songs, put our whole life into the songs, and of course, and it's great to be able to talk about them, and people are listening. Really, it is.
Do you still get a bit nervous as to how people will receive a new project?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a performer. Performers, very, very insecure people. You've probably spotted that over the years.
A couple of times. Mm-hmm. Your last album...
Or else you'd have joined the bank if you weren't, you know, insecure, or you'd become a geography teacher, he could bully children. No, this is just the way it is. You're very concerned about what people make of your music, because you think if they stop, you know, believing in you, then you'll have to find another job.
You described your last album, All That You Can't Leave Behind, just in case you forgot the title. You described that a couple of times as platinum soul. How would you describe this one?
Titanium soul.
Does that mean it's worth more? Is titanium worth more than plutonium?
Oh, plutonium actually is much better. Can I just use that? That was very good, Simon. It's plutonium, so it's fairly fissious material, if you want to use one from the lab. No, it started out as a rock and roll record. Edge was kind of really driving the bus, and he had a lot of, you know, seemingly some heavy artillery. He arrived down here with, like, big riffs and, you know, as a guitar player, he often avoids those, you know, riff-a-rama. And here he arrives with, look, a box full of these incredible guitar hooks, and it's like, you know, 20 years later, he wants to be a guitar hero. And it was like, what? Because he's kind of like a guitar anti-hero. Whenever you'd expect Edge to play a solo, he does something much more, you know, restrained. I mean, part of his magic is that. It's like Miles Davis, you know, Edge's philosophy is notes are very expensive. Don't use them up, you know.
He's a technician, really, isn't he?
Well, he's...
I meant that as a compliment.
He's... Yeah, I don't know if he'd take it as a compliment. I think he's just very, very technical about... his art, yes, that's a technician, and he's a technician. But here he was, years after avoiding, you know, except on very, very, very special occasions, hitting the big E and, you know, making the building shake. It's usually Adam that does that, and the drums that do that. He came downstairs with all this stuff, and it started out as a rock record from there, but then halfway through, it sort of turned into something else, so I don't really know what to call it.
Well, I did think that Edge probably had his, obviously has his hands on all the songs, but I did wonder whether, I mean, since we spoke last, since the last album came out, bands like Franz Ferdinand have been around, The Hives been around, loads of guitar bands around. I wondered if he took that as an inspiration, took it as a challenge?
Yeah, I think it's a good time for rock and roll, and I think the other thing was, is that Edge was just, you know...
What?
At a point in his life where he was, you know, just a little bit mad, you know, at what sort of rock and roll had turned into, and maybe his part in that, you know. Just thought it had gotten a little too sweet, and he wanted to drop some bitterness into it, I think.
Let's play City of Blinding Lights, which is just one of many extraordinary tracks from this album. Which is the city in question here?
Started out in London and it moved to New York. It's kind of about, you know, naivete when you're a kid. I was 17 when I got on the train and the boat to London to sell our demos door to door. And I remember just looking around at this incredible metropolis and sort of in love and yet fearful at the same time. So there's a reference there. I think it's a Boomtown Rats reference, Neon Heart. I think it goes, the more you see, the less you know, the less you find out as you go. I knew much more then than I do now. Neon heart, day glow eyes, a city lit by fireflies. They were advertising in the skies for people like us. It's about innocence, naivete. You don't realize at the time how powerful it is.
So from the new U2 album, City of Blinding Lights.